You're listening to The Last Word on Hockey with Jim Behringer, Coach Jay, and Mark Weiss on Northeast Streaming Sports.
Everybody, welcome back to The Last Word on Hockey here on Mad Radio Network, Season 2, Episode 21. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, alongside Coach Jay and Mark Weiss. We got a lot of things to talk about here on a Saturday night. We're going to finish up Round 1, the only series left, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Montreal Canadiens. We'll talk Round 2 as the Islanders and Bruins kick off Game 1 tonight at TD Garden in Boston. And we'll also look at the rest of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Gentlemen, welcome back to another show.
Hey, welcome.
So let's kick things off. Let's start up in Montreal. Game 6, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens inside Centre Bell, the Bell Centre in Montreal. 2,500 people will be allowed in the building tonight. The first time in over 400 days that Canada will see live playoff action.
Can't wait. I'll tell you something. We just talked about it a little bit off air, but 2,500 people are going to sound like 25,000 people because they are going to be bursting with energy to root on the Habs, no question about it. I mean, game 5, it looked like a lock. The Habs up 3-0. Then all of a sudden, it was a total shock when the Habs were now the game was tied 3-3. Toronto made a huge mistake. When you rally back in a game like that to tie it 3-3 and you go to overtime, you got to beat those guys. You can't let them beat you in overtime, which they did with a fantastic goal on a 2-on-none. And now, even though they're down 3-2 in the series, momentum shifts to Les Canadiens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and luckily they listened to everyone and started Caulfield. What a play by Caulfield.
What did I say about starting him from game one?
Exactly. I think everybody said start him from game one. I think that was the key. I mean, I think the other head scratchers is why is Romanoff not in the lineup now that John Merrill was taken out? They put Kulak back in. I mean, I think Romanoff should be in there as well.
Jimmy, yeah. Every one of us is trying to figure out why Caulfield wasn't even in from game one. I've never heard a legitimate reason from Canadian management as to why the guy who was their spark plug down the stretch when he joined the team was not included in this lineup. Does anyone even know the reason anymore?
Look, I've listened to like Montreal radio and you know, Toronto radio, and they've had different guys here and there on. And they've talked about, the Canadians, they want to let them see what playoff action was like. You know, they're young kids, you hear everybody say they want the young kids to play, but they built the team for the playoffs. But you can't have it both ways, as they said. You either want the young kids to play or you got to have the veterans there. And to be honest, the young kids look good, especially Suzuki and Caulfield. Those two guys are beasts. And they showed it on the game winner in game 5 the other night on Thursday night. You would have thought, most people would have thought, Caulfield's going to shoot it there, but he goes back across. Jack Campbell's expecting a shot, and, Suzuki puts it in the back of the net, and Montreal escapes really Toronto and survives Toronto because Toronto was coming on after being down 3-0 couple of goals, especially a spotty one on that. I believe it was the second goal by Toronto from the point that beat Carey Price. All the momentum was with Toronto.
Well, that goal was deflected, though. That wasn't straight in.
No, I know it was, but you could tell Price was off his angle a little bit because there was a lot of room for that puck to go in.
Little bit. That one where we were just late on the butterfly, I think it's because it got tipped and it threw off his timing. I think that's why he was late on that one. That's my personal opinion. But then again, I'm a Carey Price fan.
Yeah, I don't know what Coach Jay saw on that, though.
Coach Jay, what do you think?
Oh, let me tell you. All I know is any goalie doesn't want to be screened. And you don't want tips. You want to clear, you know, he may have been a little out of place, Price, but like most tips, I mean, goalies can be in the right position, and it seems like the puck always finds the open space.
I feel like a tip puck, a deflected puck for a goalie is like a batter looking for a fastball and getting a changeup and throws you off.
It's a terrible feeling because your body goes like that. If you see it, we're talking about NHL tips. It's ridiculous how fast the shots are and how they change the direction like that. It's just amazing. That's why
they always find the net, though. It seems like every time you see a launch shot that gets tipped, it finds the net. It's like, how do these guys do it? Their skill level is so off the charts. I can't even understand it.
Yeah. I mean, but luckily
it's crazy. I mean, look, the hand-eye coordination is so good in this league these days. But like you were saying, you know, Price, you put a couple of bodies in front. And again, Toronto's coming hard. And the puck finds in the net. Every goalie I know says, don't put your stick in the way when a shot's coming from the point because they don't want it redirected because they can see it.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way. If you put your stick in the way, it winds up hitting you in the eye.
Yeah, well, that too.
The years of playing goalie, no matter what league or whatever style, as a goalie, I wanted to not see any change in direction from when the puck was coming off the stick. I mean, you're basically 50-50 on that.
But you know, defensemen, their first inclination is to try to help you out and block it.
Well, when they put their stick like that, it's up. They got to put it like this, have it flat like that so it hits it. They do it like this. It's going zoom, you know. But the way you guys,
everybody likes those stick blocks, but you can't do that. You have to go a different way. And look, like I said, Montreal was lucky to escape Toronto the other night, up 3-0, and get the winner about a minute into overtime because Toronto was charging, and now there's some doubts. You know, you're up 3-1. Okay, it's 3-2. Now you lose. It's game 7. And we know the history with Toronto in the first round. We know what's creeping in, but now the doubts may start to come into Jack Campbell's head. Okay, am I the guy? What's going on here? I mean, he didn't play a bad game.
No. But
the team in front of him cannot get off to a slow start again against Montreal. In Montreal.
Did they miss their captain?
He skated the day of the game. Like, he skated by himself. I thought that would have been inspiration enough.
Well, you know what, like you're saying, Jim, I mean, look at Toronto, all their firepower, and Muzzin, a defenseman, is scoring 2 of your goals. That's dangerous.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Where's 16 been? Where's Marner? 4 assists in the series in 5 games. Matthews has 1 goal.
It's been okay. Nylander. It's been Nylander who's been the secondary.
Four goals in 4 games for Nylander, but it's. Galchenyuk had a 3-point game, but again, Toronto goes as Matthews and Marner and Hyman go, and they need those guys to play a big game 6. They, especially Marner. Matthews has actually played a really good series. His stats may not show it, but Marner needs to step up his game.
No question about it. I mean, the bottom line is the bottom line. If that team doesn't get that scoring from that first line, then they're going to have to find it somewhere else. And that's not been the tale of the season because Matthews has filled the net up more than anybody else in this league. And him and Marner play off each other. If one's off, the other one's off. And that's a key factor for these guys also. for Campbell. I'm already hearing the rumblings on all the Maple Leaf sites that we post our show to. And people are like, well, should we be making a goalie switch? You know, and even on the Montreal sites, like people were like, you know what? We were beating up Carey, but, you know, anyone who's a detractor for that guy has got to realize that without him playing the way he's been playing, we're not even going to game six. So goalie stuff always seems to come into question here in these playoffs. Always
especially,
does.
Especially in this series because Anderson, you know, he's healthy. He's there. It appears Nick Foligno will be back in the lineup tonight. He took line rushes today. They say he's a game-time decision. Max Pacioretty was a game-time decision, and so was Ryan Reeves yesterday. They both played because it was game seven. I said this to somebody the other day. If this goes seven, I wouldn't be shocked to see Tavares play game seven, even though he's supposed to be out for 2 weeks.
What's the concussion protocol in the league? Would it allow him to play?
It's not the concussion. It's the knee. He's supposed to be sidelined for 2 weeks for a knee injury.
Oh, thought it was
the knee injury. You know, he's going to tape an aspirin to it and play. If it's a concussion protocol, then the league's going to call that.
Yeah, well, he's got to pass it. But I don't expect to see him for the rest of the series, but you never know. But
and to the goalie, and to that goalie situation, Anderson wasn't going to stop that 2-on-none.
No goalie stopping that 2-on-none.
Campbell played that perfectly, but the Canadians threw a curveball to him because the kid with the quick release made the blind pass, and Suzuki buried it. I looked like it kind of clinked a little bit off the post when it went in. It was a perfect shot. And no goalie was saving that.
No, and Campbell even came back when the pass was made. He tried to come back as best as he could. It was just a perfect.
It was a great pass. Right. It was a great pass.
If you resurrected Johnny Bauer in his prime, he wasn't saving that.
Unless it was from a Geico commercial, would they have covered the net? Let's put it that way. Come on, let's be serious about
it. Let's not give any free plugs to insurance companies here.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It's going to be interesting because, you know, the doubt was there for Toronto, but they were able to come back. If they go down early in the Bell Center with the crowd in the building, it might be tough for them to come back because that place is loud. Even with 2,500 people in the building, the Canadians will rally around that. And they may even rally if they go down 2-0 to Toronto. Toronto has to come out and play their best game of the series if they don't want to have a game seven.
It's true because Montreal is in desperation mode. In game five, they were, and they came out and they played it. And then all of a sudden, they got the 3-goal lead. They got complacent. And that's how the Maple Leafs came back. That's how Toronto came back because Montreal started getting complacent. And also, the Leafs stepped it up because they weren't, they each changed their mindset in the game. And the key thing is, I think when you're in these games, you got to play desperate every shift. You really have to take it. I mean, it sounds like a cliche. You got to play shift by shift. You can't think of the big picture game. You play every shift and you play it damn hard. And you go out there and you skate your ass off. That's what you got to do. And the minute you start to let down a little bit in this league, these guys are too fast and too skilled. Next thing you know, they ring the cash register on you.
100%. Toronto has to play as desperate as Montreal. Toronto has to play as if they're down in the series.
Toronto has to play like it's game seven.
Right, exactly. You don't want to go back. You need to close out the series because Toronto is the better team.
But the worst part about it is, think about this. And I know you. I just said you got to play shift by shift and not look at the full game or the series. But there are guys sitting up in Winnipeg right now, you know, healing their wounds and practicing and getting ready. And whoever wins this series is going to come and beat up. And so if you're Toronto, you want to end it now because you don't want to play another game and give Winnipeg that much more time to rest. I mean, I hate to say you don't want to look to that picture, but you play a game seven here and you're coming into that next series behind the eight ball.
Yeah, but the problem is if you look at it this way, I see the flip side of it. Say this series does go seven. Well, the team that has the sweep in the first round doesn't fare too well in the second round because of the team going to game seven. So the Winnipeg Jets, though, are a really good team. They swept the Edmonton Oilers in three of those games with the overtime. Anything can happen there. I mean, the game the Oilers should have had was the 4-1 game in game three. They didn't. They lose in overtime.
So what'd you say? Winnipeg beat Draisaitl and McDavid, right? You didn't say Edmonton. You said Draisaitl and McDavid.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, they beat McDavid and Draisaitl. They beat 97-29 because I don't know where the rest of the Oilers were on the beach somewhere. I don't know. Because they need – I don't know what – I don't know what Oilers teams people were watching this year thinking that they were a favorite against the Winnipeg Jets, because they weren't. They didn't have the depth, and it showed. Mike Smith played a heck of a series. Jay, you probably can attest to that. You probably watched the games. He played a good series.
Oh, yeah.
But Connor Hellebuyck played better, and the Winnipeg Jets are a team you just can't sleep on. I said it on the show how many times. Look, they're a good team.
You've been on the Winnipeg thing before anybody else in the media even knew they existed. 100%. Right. And yep. By the way, you got a lot of great feedback from the Winnipeg Jets group that we posted your quick video hit on and your article.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the people know, but people just don't recognize them because of the style they play. But good defense usually beats good offense. And as we'll talk about in the next series, you can't win in the playoffs with one line or two guys. It can't happen. You need to have depth scoring, and that's what the Winnipeg Jets got against the Edmonton McDavids or Dreisaitls, whatever you want to call them. That's what they did.
McDreisaitls.
There you go. McDreisaitls.
I mean, but turning back full circle back to the series in hand right now, you just said it too. You got to get scoring depth, and you have to have depth on a team. And I think Montreal, we said that from when we did our predictions at the beginning of the year. They were built with a four-line depth, which over the course of a full regular 82-game season, I think we would have seen more results than over a shorter season. But in the playoffs, especially, where everyone's going full throttle, having those four lines being out there, as you get deeper into a series, Game 6 and Game 7, that gives them more of an advantage. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're wearing the Habs stuff. Of course, you're saying that stuff. But I've been on them since the beginning of the year. I mean, that was my pick, and you know, I'm staying with the ship. I didn't jump off the ship when they were down 3-1. Been wearing Habs stuff to rent out every week, baby, and I don't expect to take it off soon.
Guy expects a game 7.
Love game 7.
Everybody loves game 7.
2,500 fans are going to do their best to keep momentum with the Canadians to get to a game 7. So it's on
those Toronto. People are probably waiting for that door to open to jump right in. I mean, like, this can be a bum rush. You're going to see 2,500 people running as it was like 25,000.
Yeah, people have been waiting for a while now just to go game. I mean, if you saw the secondary ticket market, like $12,000 Canadian for people are reselling them.
Just well, the primary market was high too. I think the face value on the tickets were like in the thousands as it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, you're going to even say Toronto loses tonight. You're still going to go with Campbell in game 7. You got to bring the guy that brought you there. You're not going to make the switch now. But for Montreal, look, the kids are doing everything. But if they really want a game 7, you're going to need production from Toffoli. You're going to need more production from Anderson, especially Toffoli at a career year. He's been MIA. Anderson's been MIA since game 1. So they need those guys to pick up their game. Defensively, they need to be better, and they need to carry Price that played in game 5, the first part of the game 5. He played good of all of game 5, but they need that carry Price. I expect this one to be a low-scoring game. And the Maple Leafs better learn how to play they know how to play defense. But they better not go down early, because it's going to be tough to climb up.
My prediction, 2-0, Carey Price wins it.
Yeah. Calling a shutout too, huh?
I'm calling a 2-0 Carey Price shutout, and I truly believe it's going to be a 1-0 game till late, and the second goal is going to be an EN.
So really, realistically, a 1-0 game.
Exactly. That's my prediction.
Hey, you got to go with the team that brought you. So you're staying with the. I think Toronto gets the job done tonight. I think they figure out a way to do it. But hey, if they don't, we'll get game 7 on Monday night.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going out on a limb. If the Habs don't win this, I will wear this jersey next week on show.
Okay, I'm clipping this. So. This better happen.
Put it out there. Post it.
But either way, I say that Campbell gets to finish out the series one way or another. We were talking about the goalie, if they should switch. You don't.
There's no way you bring a guy in who played a few games at the end of the season after being out most of the season and played no playoff hockey. Playoff hockey is too quick and too fast to throw a guy in like that.
Yep.
The The only way he sees action is if, let's say, Montreal lights the lamp like four or five times early in this game, and they throw him in as a replacement, and then stick with him. That's the only way.
That's different. Yeah, then you have nothing to lose, and
that's the only way he sees action. Honestly, that's the way I believe.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Exactly. I agree with that. So look, tonight's gonna be fun. Game 6, 7:30. But speaking of round two, game one up in Boston, shipping up to Boston for game one of that series between the New York Islanders and the Boston Bruins. I've had the Islanders in six, predicted that, wrote it up, said it, prediction right. So they're into the next round. And the Boston Bruins, we all predicted, were going in. They beat the Washington Capitals in five games. And it's good. This is definitely interesting. Yeah, we did. This is a definitely interesting matchup because the Islanders found goals easy to come by against Pittsburgh because of Tristan Jarry. And they made life hard for him because they were picking off his glove hand. I don't think they're going to get those easy goals this time because Tuukka Rask is on his game. Outside of a bad bounce in game one against Washington, he's been really rock solid. And it's going to be very difficult for the Islanders to find scoring. They have it. They're going to need more from Barzal, though, because he was relatively quiet against the Penguins.
Well, you just brought up two dynamics. One is the fact that the Islanders are going to need to find more scoring because they picked on a goalie who was easy to pick on. And now they're playing against the guy who is at the top of his game, although we've heard rumblings about some injuries and stuff like that coming on the Boston sites that I've been checking out. I don't know if that's pre-excusing or whatever. I know that there's a love-hate relationship up in Beantown between Rask and the fandom. You know, I know last year kind of exacerbated it a little bit, but the reality of it is he's going to be a much tougher goalie for a team that's goal-challenged to score against. And let's face it, the Islanders got to shut down that production line, but then they got to look at the Taylor Hall line. And that's a dynamic that didn't happen. And remember, the series between the Islanders and Boston this year was kind of a tale of two series. The Islanders beat Boston early. Like, I think they took the earlier games in the season, and Boston came back and took the later ones when they got healthy.
Bruins played the Islanders three times after the Taylor Hall acquisition and won every game, and I believe outshot and outscored them 10-3 or something like that. I saw the stat. Yep. So Taylor Hall has made a difference with this team, and he looks like he wants to stay there. You know, he's looking more than just a 1 to 2 year deal with this team, but it's going to be Rask and it's going to be Sorokin on the other side. And we all questioned it, why the Islanders went to Varlamov after game two and he played poor in game three, and they went back to the rookie and he's looked good. He's looked solid, but he's going to have to match Rask every shift.
The Islanders crashing and fighting the crease in front of him that they were doing with Pittsburgh. I think Boston has too much power. They're gonna get some goals fighting in that crease for the 50-50 pucks in front of Sorokin. That's going to make a difference. I quote Sorokin. I like Sorokin. I said, look. They would lose nothing playing Sorokin over Varlamov the first series. And Sorokin looks really good, but they're going to need more. They're going to need more to fend off Boston's charge because they can handle the Islanders in that crease.
Well, to me, a matchup is to watch is Adam Pellick and Ryan Pollock and where they match up. Most likely they're going to go and shut down the production line, and they did a heck of a job against Sidney Crosby's line of Jake Guentzel and Brian Rust, and Crosby only had 2 points, but Crosby did not look like himself in that round. He's definitely hurt, and he was not playing his style. You know, Jeff Carter did most of the damage for them, but you know, you still have Noah Dobbs, you still have Andy Green, you still got Braden Coburn, you got guys still that's going to be tough to play against. But the one thing the Pittsburgh didn't have that the Boston Bruins do have is depth scoring. They have three lines that can really score, and fourth line
Didn't have midway through the season. We all talked about they were getting scoring only from one line. The Taylor Hall deal is a tale of two teams because the Islanders didn't get him and Boston did, and that might be the difference in this series, in my opinion.
But personally, see, I hear all this talk about how, well, Taylor Hall wasn't a, like, doesn't fit the Bruins style. I was always on Taylor Hall going to Boston. I never
fit the Islander style.
I never thought he didn't fit the Islander style. Like, I heard, oh, Hall in the Islanders. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Him to Boston made perfect sense because he fits. And now David Krejci has a scoring winger, and it allows Craig Smith to be open. And now you move Jake DeBrusk down to the third line with Charlie Coyle. And
which makes him the best third line forward in the league.
Right, and you have Nick Ritchie on the other side. That's dangerous. It's a really dangerous team.
And Taylor's not the top. It's not Taylor and bust. It's not Taylor first and leading the way. It's Taylor secondary, not having the focus on him. And he looks fast, and he has great hands.
We always knew he had all of that. It's just a question if he wanted to put the effort in. And obviously, you know, being sent to the outpost of the NHL in Buffalo did nothing for him this year. All of a sudden, he got to Boston. He realized, this is my shot. This is my chance.
He wants to win. That's what he stated from the beginning. He wanted to win. And everyone's like, oh, you're not going to do that in Buffalo. And you go to Boston, you get a renewed rejuvenation. Now the Bruins have a lot of questions when their season ends because they have a lot of unrestricted free agents, David Krejci being one of them. He's 35 years old, but he's playing some of the best hockey of his career because he has a winger. And if Hall wants to stay, now what are they going to do? But those questions have to go down the road. Tonight, it's about playing against a good, hungry team in the Islanders that can play Boston really well, and they will.
I think one of the keys here is defense. I think it's going to be the matchups. I think Barry Trotz, when he has those three home games, or two, whichever way the series goes, he's got to control those matchups. I don't think you want a guy like Nick Leddy matched up against the production line. No, I think you want to make sure. I think because he's the guy that can be exploited by them. You know, he's more of an offensive guy, and dare say he's a little bit of the softer defenders on the Islanders. I think you want Pellick and those other guys playing against the production line.
I agree 100%. That's the matchup I'm looking at, is Pellick and Pollock against that top line against the production.
Even Green against them, I would be fine with.
I would not put Andy Green against that top line. No.
Yeah,
way.
You're right.
No.
Maybe Andy Green 5 years ago, but not this Andy.
Not this Andy Green. No way.
And look out for Coyle. Look out for that third line. Coyle has picked up his game.
Well, DeBrusk has picked up his game too because he had a poor regular season, and he's already had 3 points in the playoffs, and he's looking like a different player.
It's amazing on the third line, though. They can't match you with their best defenders. All of a sudden, a first line kind of guy playing on the third line versus third line kind of deep. Man, you look like a stud.
You really do. No, this is going to be a fun series. As I wrote in the article, I think this goes the distance. I think it'll go seven, to be honest.
Six.
I just think
Boston six.
But I think Boston's just too
Boston
much.
Boston six.
Six. I just take Boston because I think they're gonna get those goals in the crease when the Islanders try and, you know, square in front of Sorokin and hold off. I think Boston has way too much size and to battle in that crease once in the offensive zone, and they're gonna get some goals out of that.
I mean, think about this defensively, though, guys. Boston pretty much manhandled Washington, which is a better offensive team than the Islanders. Hands down.
Well, Boston did a heck of a job shutting down that Capitals power play too, with all those weapons.
What power play? I don't think Ovi got more than that one shot that went in from the dot. And if you remember, that was actually deflected and it came in as a changeup, and that's the reason it went in.
But look, again, special teams going to be key in this thing because I think the Islanders really do need to stay out of the penalty box.
Oh, they can't give Boston a power play. They really can't because they're going to pay for it.
Because Taylor Hall is on the second. Taylor Hall is not even on the first power play unit.
No, he's on the second power play unit.
You don't want to get Boston. That, like you're saying, that's the key. If the Islanders can stay out of the penalty box.
That's why I go Boston six.
Yeah.
Exactly. I go Boston. I like Boston, but I think the Islanders find a way to make it go the distance. Look, I got it right last time. You know, I would like to see the Islanders make a run here, but I don't know. I think Boston's just too strong, and they look like a team that's destined to go to the Stanley Cup final this year. I don't know why. They just look like it, and
I picked them for the finals. Like it. Well, yeah. You know, I picked Boston for them to make the finals, not win, but make the finals. So I got to stick with that, obviously. And I say six because I picked them in five against Washington. I got that right. So I'm giving one more game to the Islanders because I think at least they have more guts and more metal than a Capitals team whose window closed on them big time.
All right. So with the time off for Boston, do you think the Islanders steal game one on the road?
Yes.
Okay. I think so too. I think New York, the way they were playing, I think they come in and figure out a way to steal the first one.
I think they steal game one, but it's going to be kind of one of those where they come out flat and then the Islanders hold them off because the Islanders have that defense that can do that. And then I think games two, three, and four are going to be a different story. I think that's when the metal of Boston steps up.
Yeah, they may be able to take advantage of Boston having a couple of days off while they were, you know, psychologically working and playing. They may be able to catch Boston and take this first game, you know. But like you said, Boston, the next couple of games, you know, they're wear and tear, and they're just so deep and big, you know, that they're going to wear them down. It's rest, baby.
If he's iced,
then, you know, do it again.
He's got a lot to redeem himself in his own mind from the last few years of playoff futility.
And he knows this
is his year. I mean, he knows that he's going to be judged like all goalies are by winning cups.
Exactly. And I love Sorokin. I just don't think he's going to be able to hold off the barrage.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think he's going to hold off the barrage. So it's going to be a fun series. Game one goes tonight, round two. Last night we had a game seven on a Friday night in Vegas. We thought we were going to have our boy Tony come on. Unfortunately, he's flying back. Hopefully we get him on for another episode to talk about the experience that he was, because he decided to take an impromptu trip to Las Vegas yesterday. It's a great story. He's a big Knights fan. I want to give a shout out to our buddy Tony, the goalie, plays quarantine.
Nardini,
baby. He's flying home.
Nardini,
he went to game seven yesterday, got a ticket, went out, watched his Golden Knights come out, win game seven. Matthias Janmark with a beautiful hat trick last night. His first career hat trick comes into playoffs. So good for him there. Max Pacioretty returns, gets a goal. Marc-Andre Fleury played well, but it was a tale of two games, to be honest, because the first about 40, maybe 35 minutes or so, it was an even game. Zach Parise looked really well. He was the difference in that series.
He was out of the doghouse.
They scratched him in game one, but he played really well. But the injuries, and I think Vegas's offense, they're a different team when they have a healthy team, especially when Pacioretty's in the lineup. Opens up everything for other players, and Vegas just too much. They win 6-2, but you know what? Hey, hats off to Minnesota. They can't hang their heads high. They played Vegas tough all season, and they did it again in the playoffs.
I was sitting there sweating it out too. You know, I was following on my way home from rent out, and I kept saying to myself, if Vegas doesn't win this game, I just blew up all my predictions for the whole playoffs. I might as well just go off air and never speak again. But Tony, what an incredible story by our buddy. You and I, Jimmy, we were just chatting with him on a text string, and next thing you know, he's like, I should go. And I'm like, yeah, you should go. And you're like, yeah,
you should just do it.
And he didn't even hang up from us. And he's like, he already booked his tickets. I mean, what an incredible story. But then again, when you're a mid-60s in your age bracket and you still play goal like that guy does, you know, you're a guy who takes the bull by the horns and does what you want to do. Kudos to that.
He's a big Golden Knights guy. He's a big Marc-Andre Fleury guy. And
he loves Fleury.
You know what? And Marc-Andre Fleury played a heck of a series in this one. Cam Talbot played really well for Minnesota as well. But again, I think Vegas just too much, and we're going to get the matchup that everybody wanted, Colorado-Vegas in round two tomorrow. That should be a heck of a series. I think Colorado's going to win that series, to be honest. I think they're destined to go to a Stanley Cup final because just the way they're playing it and everything. But then again, you never know. You know, they had a sweep in the first round too. So statistics say you don't do too well in the next round with a team coming off a game seven. Vegas looks really well and they look hungry too. So that's going to be a fun series.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun series. I picked Vegas throughout the playoffs. So I don't even have to tell you who I'm picking for that again in that series between Vegas and Colorado.
I'm taking Colorado as long as Grubauer continues to play how he played, then they'll make up for the state being stale the last couple of days.
But just look what you just said. As long as he keeps playing the way he's been playing, because he has no track record of that, I'm going with that Fleury guy.
That's his track record. Like you said, this is his time to shine and prove that, you know, he could do it on his own and he didn't have to be used to get Hopi up and then put to this. This is his time.
Colorado. I'm going for it. He's a future Hall of Famer.
It's going to be a fun series, both sides, to see what MacKinnon and it's two high-powered offenses against each other. Both teams have a great defense, very evenly matched. They split the season series 4-4. I mean, if you look at the statistics, tail of the tape, they're pretty much dead even. This has the potential to go seven games, and it should. And it's going to be fun. And I think it will, too.
I got Vegas in seven because they got Fleury between the pipes.
Look, again – Grubauer doesn't have the track record, but he's got the team in front of him. And if he can stay healthy, and look, and if it does go seven, Pete DeBoer's now 7-0 in game seven. So there's that statistic as well. So
that's crazy.
Right? Yeah. That's such a crazy stat.
That is a crazy stat. I mean, that's like
Mr. I'm sorry. He's 8-0. He's tied with Red Auerbach with the Boston Celtics at 8-0 in game seven.
And it's, yeah, well, and it's if Kadri
that's a pretty good guy to be tied with.
Yeah.
And it's if Kadri can
Oh, that's right. No Kadri for the start of the series.
Yeah. That's big. That screws up their lines, you know.
Well, they better find out with this appeal, because he appealed everything. We still haven't heard a word about anything. So they better find out soon, because he's still missing games.
Yeah.
But so Vegas did their thing, so hopefully we can get Tony on, talk about the experience, because we really wanted him on today, because, I mean, this story, what he did is incredible, but he's coming back home early, so hopefully we get him on again to talk about it. But let's move to the Central. Everything is set there. The Tampa Bay Lightning are off to the second round again. They take care of business in game six against the Florida Panthers. I figured Florida would win game five. They did. Okay. But the champs come out. They beat them up. They look good. Look strong. Vasilevsky, again, he's probably the best goalie in the league right now.
Yep.
And on the other side of things, Nashville put up a heck of a fight against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Scary.
I thought Nashville like Boston was one of the hottest teams coming to the playoffs. They looked like it. Split the first four games. A lot of overtimes. Another overtime in game five. And then another overtime in game six. And what a play by Aho to get inside position. It just get a stick on that shot, and it goes over Saros, and the Canes are off to face the Lightning.
Goal scorers score goals.
Yeah, but, I mean, just the positioning and getting
those
in there.
Tips, it, man. Lots of tips.
Saros played a great series for Nashville, Jay. I mean, he can't – again, Predators can't hang their heads because they played well.
You know, guys, I messed that one up. I did pick Nashville, but my logic was they were so hot down the stretch, they really weren't a number four seed. They weren't a number three seed. They were really a number one going into it. They challenged Carolina all the way. And now it didn't matter to me either. Whoever won that series, I still say the champs are the champs.
Ellis got hurt again.
Look, yeah, he did.
Ellis came back was when they went on this streak. He got hurt again. It could have changed if he was healthy.
I think Yossi left game six too.
Yeah,
he did.
But Saros played great.
Well, that's why Saros is the number one, and Rennie was on the bench throughout the series. And like we said, his last game of the season was his swan song with the Preds.
Absolutely, 100% agreed there. But it's going to be interesting now with Tampa Bay, because they've struggled against Nedeljkovic during the regular season and the Carolina Hurricanes. They figured out a way to stop Kucherov and Stamkos and all that firepower. But again, Kucherov wasn't there. Stamkos missed some time. Exactly. And again, if Carolina wants to win this series, they better stay out of the penalty box, because Tampa Bay's power play is just
the champ's power play is sick.
Right.
Yeah.
they're clicking on 100%. You saw the quote about Barkley Goodrow today by the coach. He's, you don't want to have, like Ricky O said it on this show, you can't have all Ferraris. You need those pickup trucks to protect these things. And that's a guy like Goodrow, and he looks like he's going to be coming back in for this series. And that'll be a difference. And the champs know what it takes to win this time of year. But it's Carolina. And who doesn't like playing for Rod Brindamore? And that team is
Rod the Bod.
Yeah.
That team is taking on the coach's persona. And it I can't wait for the series, to be honest. Central Division's been really good hockey.
Been great hockey. I mean, even thinking about the team that didn't make it, like Dallas, they weren't playing terrible. They just it was just such a tough division. And so you're getting great hockey, but I just have to say champs are champs.
Yeah, I mean, this I'll tell you, this is the playoffs of rookie goalies. What's his name? Sorokin, this kid from Carolina.
Oh, Nedeljkovic. You had Spencer Nedeljkovic. Knight come in for Florida.
Knight, yep. I mean, but yeah, me too. I would go with Tampa Bay too. Just way too deep. They can handle Carolina's style of play in a seven-game series. So I would go with Tampa Bay too. As Valesky, come on. I mean, he's playing, you know, he's playing
best goalie in the world right now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I want to bring up an interesting stat since we're talking about goalies, Coach Jake, and you tell me if this boggles your mind, but in this, for the first time in the history of the NHL playoffs, a team started three different goaltenders in two games each for Florida. How in the world can that team have expected to win if they had three different goalies starting two games each in the first time in the history of NHL playoffs?
But before Coach Jay answers that, this is what's the old line of football? When you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
You have none.
Applies in the National Hockey League. You have two goalies, you have zero. I mean, you could talk to Vegas.
What do you say about three?
Yeah, you still have zero. Look, somebody made the thing. He's like, oh, well, you Vegas has talked to Vegas about that. Yeah, they picked their guys, Fleury. They're not changing right now. Right. So you have to pick somebody. Look, Bob didn't play a bad first game for Florida. He probably should have played again. But the problem is when you start playing, you know, mix and match goaltender, it doesn't work.
No, and the UFA on your team, Draeger, was the best. It was your best option besides Knight. And here's Knight is your future, and Bobrovsky didn't. I mean, yeah, he played very well the first game. A lot of those goals were on his fault. But
who was their best goaltender during the regular season?
Draeger.
Draeger.
Right. So there's your
answer. And you have a $10.5 million problem.
But they made a financial choice and went with Bobo in the first two games because he was the guy they're spending the money on.
But they should have never given him $7 million. $7 million over 10 years anyway.
I agree with you. I mean, let's be honest. You know, just because you give a guy $7 million doesn't mean he's a $7 million player.
Right. Or whatever. However the contract is, it's $10 million over 7 years.
Whatever it is, he's still not that guy. Just because you throw money at him doesn't mean he is that.
No. But don't forget, look at the team Bobrovsky had in front of him in Columbus. It was a better defensive team. Now, granted, the Florida Panthers did not have Aaron Ekblad. That definitely hurt them. No doubt about it. Definitely. But they still play Tampa very close.
They did. But again,
Gudos and Mansour.
Goalie's the difference.
Defensive that'll battle you in front. But yeah, Ekblad, you know, he was having a career year this year. You know,
you just watched that series and you saw the saves that Tampa got when they got beat because they have the best goalie in the world and Florida couldn't get those saves. That's the difference in this series.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It's definitely nice. Think about all the confidence we've ever played in when we've had, like, a great goalie behind us. We could take those little extra chances that you can't do when you got a guy to worry about.
You mean when we have Allen in net?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Mr. Burke.
Kudos to Allen.
Mr. Burke.
Kudos to Allen. Oh, yeah. I've played a tournament or two in a game or two with him. I'll take an extra chance because I know he's back there.
Plus, as a defenseman, when a guy like that yells at me and tells me to do something, I'm listening because he earned his stripes. When you hear a guy who's just flailing like a fish out of water and he tells you to do something, I'm like, dude, make a save. Well, make a save and then we'll talk.
Well, as a goalie, when I used to yell, no one listened. I would just yell. You know, and there's a big difference when the guys respond in front of
you. Well, Coach Jay, the defense you had in front of you, your goals against average was like the national debt.
Oh, my God. I felt like the guy from Slapshot.
Trade me freaking now.
Trade me now. No, so the Panthers have some questions they got to look at going forward, especially this offseason. What do they do with Driedger? Obviously, Knight's their future. Does Bob Brovsky, you know, get exposed in the expansion draft?
Oh, for sure he does.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, so Carolina and Tampa get kicked off tomorrow afternoon at 5. Then game one of Vegas and Colorado tomorrow night. So tonight we have game 6 of Toronto-Montreal in Montreal. And we also have game 1 between the Islanders and the Bruins. So it's going to be Memorial Day weekend here in the States. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of hockey, a lot of fun stuff. But so before we get out of here, I know we don't really kind of like do stuff like this, but my dad wanted to give him a shout out. I just wanted to just say, you know, just remember what Memorial Day is for. You know, we get to be on the beaches. We get to have, you know, our barbecues and we get to have our fun skates. But just remember why we have them, because we're on the beach in the sun, just remember the guys on the beach that didn't make it home back in the day so we can have this and we can have fun this weekend. So just want to just do that. And normally we don't do this kind of stuff here, but my dad made a special request since he was in the service. So he asked me to do it. So I'm going to do it. So just remember, just have some fun, have safe, and just take the time just to remember everybody that didn't make it home. So we can have fun on Memorial Day weekend.
100% agree with you. I mean, I always think about my dad on Memorial Day. He's a Korean War era vet, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, that's, you know, those guys, like you think about like the guys who didn't make it back from Omaha and Utah Beach, you know, all of that heroism is what gives us a chance to have those barbecues, be on the beach. And in our case, we'll be skating. You know, right. But we should be thinking about those guys. Some of them were nothing more than teenagers, you know, and they gave it all because they believed in this country and they believed in freedom. And while we do argue a lot in this country about politics and freedom, one thing's for sure, we all agree, this is the greatest nation on the planet.
Absolutely.
And because my birthday sometimes fell out on Memorial Day weekend, I would always, since this Facebook, Instagram, you know, whatever, would always first say, thank you for the freedom for that I could be here because of the sacrifice they made so that we can be free and we can argue about things. Because there are other countries that you can argue because you think you just have a voice. They shoot you. They beat you up. Your voice doesn't stop bullets. And it doesn't stop
freedom
fascism.
Freedom isn't free.
It doesn't stop fascism and people that don't want you not to have freedom. So
remember,
as far as I'm concerned, I would always thank policemen, everyone that puts 100%. Their lives in the line.
Absolutely, 100%.
Keep things safe. Besides, you know, also that you need today. Absolutely. And to your dad, Mark, and to your dad and my father was a Second Amendment. I don't care what you say. Second Amendment, self-defense.
Champion.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, he was willing to put his life on the line and he, you know, lived a hard life, you know, that he free, you know, you got to, people aren't just going to go and give you your freedom because I say so. Right. Sometimes you got to fight for it.
I think the best way to sum it up is one line: freedom isn't free. There's a freedom price to pay for freedom. Yep.
Exactly. So, like I said, be safe, everybody. Like you said, we don't really want to do anything like that. We don't really touch on the politics and anything. But again, my dad wanted a special shout out kind of stuff for Memorial Day weekend here in the States.
Thumbs up, Mr. B.
Yeah. Thumbs up, Pops. And all the guys that didn't make it home through all the wars or everything that's been going on. So everybody be safe this weekend. Enjoy the games, have some fun. And we look forward to coming back to you next weekend again, talking some more hockey, and enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. Have fun, and we'll see you soon.
Take care.
Take care, everyone.